listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Welcome back to our podcast, episode 15, in our series of episodes about hair color. This one about the three winter seasons. You know, Christine, remember when you were planning a family and you started seeing pregnant women everywhere? Well, I see hair everywhere. I mean, I can't help people watching. It's just one of my favorite hobbies. I get so much inspiration from looking at other people. And these days, I keep noticing hair colors everywhere I go.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, Jorunn, how hair color can be so varied and speak volumes and speak so well for the person, whether it's natural or dyed. But sometimes the color doesn't speak so well for the woman. Style for hair color changes. Does for clothes, or it just wasn't a good choice in the first place and it became a habit. We want answers that are always the right answer, but as the appearance we want and the way we look and the world around us changes, best choice for hair color changes. Natural colors don't change, though. They're the one constant you can depend on. I think everything can get better. Our show's not about figuring out past choices or beliefs or, to be realistic, identifying every woman's perfect hair color. I mean, that's based on individual coloring in a season and the woman's preferences, how she wants to look in her community. Our show is about letting old choices go because you acquire new information about yourself, a new way for you to think about color in relation to you, then guides you to new decisions. What needs a change? What doesn't? Just as important. And how do you move in better directions? Jorunn, am I right? We and our clients, we go into the same stores, we spend the same money, but we come out with different things.
Obviously we do, yes. And you know, a client said to me recently that the reason why she came to get her color analysis was because she wanted to stand steady or stand firm, as she put it. I can't think of the English translation, but something like being comfortable in her own skin, I guess you could say in English. When being shown the colors that really brought out her radiant self, she said that encouraged her to use more of her colors, not only the safe neutrals. Something about daring to be visible at herself as herself. But anyway, Christine, a little bit earlier, you mentioned something about a new way to think about appearance. I'd like you to give us an example.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. For example, eyes are the focal point of the face. That's not new. We may never have thought about it expressed that way, but when asked, most people agree that in human interaction, attention's from the eyes of one person to the eyes of the other. Eye contact, right? We feel the power when eyes connect. So as one way of thinking about the role of hair and how we look, attention goes to the most prominent color in a composition. If hair color is stronger than eye color, well, that's where the attention goes. So the person you're speaking with is trying to keep the hair off their radar just to have a conversation.
Yeah. I know what you mean. We've all done this. You're speaking with a woman and uncomfortably aware of something about the hair, so your attention is diffused across her presence. You're trying to look at her and look away to give your eyes a rest, and even more so when the person wears glasses, because eyes are physically further away from the other person and there's something between you.
Right. It could be glasses, it could be makeup, it could be hair. I pick focused attention over vague awareness any day. So you really want eye color to be all it can be and eyes not to be pulled back in the face as wrong color absolutely can do, or color competition in the appearance can do. All these questions and more answer just by wearing your own colors. Something I've been wondering lately, whether best appearance happens for most people in any season when hair is a neutral color. Like picture, you have to choose a blouse and you're going to wear it every day with every outfit. It'd probably pick a neutral color that works nicely in the background with everything else you wear. For some people, natural hair color is more colorful. It's a stronger color element in the appearance, but it's always balanced by the eyes. And that could happen in all 12 seasons, just another presentation of human beings and a gorgeous one. What it comes down to is you are born, what you were born with, usually your best hair. If you're born with neutral type hair, you can't pull off too much color without something else losing ground. And it's the eyes that lose ground most because they're right beside the hair. Everything's relative. If your natural hair color is design is colorful, dropping it down to neutral kind of looks bland. Does this make sense to you, Yoren? Would you recognize these situations?
Oh, yes, yes. It makes total sense to use a more neutral option as a hair color because that leaves you free to pick other colors elsewhere. It's like having a bright orange sofa in your living room. You're kind of locked in then, aren't you? But if you have a sofa in a neutral color, you can change the pillows and throws and have a whole new living room. Not to compare hair to sofas, but you know what I mean. So yeah, let's get back to practical topics. As always, we're grateful to Courtney St. John of Studio St. John in Massachusetts for conversations relating to coloring hair at home. And as always, we're linking to her website in the show notes. And this show is going to be structured as the summer one was, in the order of true, bright, and dark winter, each divided into natural and chemical color, and which color is to be avoided of those that we see most often. And if you're joining us for the first time and wonder about the names of the seasons, the map is posted with each podcast episode at chrysaliscolor.com. As a statement that would be true for most people, if your current hair color is a long way from what you had at 25, take a moment to revisit the choice every few years. When I say this, I mean chemical color. Your natural color is always in line with you, perfect for you, and changes with you. Winters especially seem to always be in color flux. They may start blonde, red, or dark, change a lot as teenagers, sometimes darken a lot in their 20s, and the next thing you know, silver and white are appearing.
Yeah, we choose something we hope looks believable. We want to look as young and healthy as we can, right? Well, for winters, that's usually the natural color, even when it's silver. Winter is the least likely to use childhood hair color as a guide for adult hair color because big changes can happen in adolescence. Not always. I haven't changed since I was 10 or younger, judging from pictures where my nose was buried in Nancy Drew books for a few years.
Oh, did you read Nancy Drew too? So nice. I had my nose in a Nancy Drew book a lot too, although it was called Miss Detective in Norwegian. Anyway, I digress. What you said is common sense that applies to all seasons. And be even more cautious going back to childhood red if you're now a medium blonde or brown, or only a touch of ginger remains. Well, let's get started on our sequence here. True winter. Let's talk about the natural colored hair of true winters.
True winter, usually a gorgeous dark brunette. You might hear about blonde and red, but they're exceptions. They're the 2 in 10. The brown might be very dark, brown, black, blue, black, or a lighter color. It looks ash until you put ash color next to it, meaning a summer kind of hair, and see that it's way more pigmented than that. And the reflections are not pinkish mauve. You're more likely to wonder if you saw blue or purple or even green, sometimes even greenish black in darker hair.
Ash and taupe sound the same, gray-brown or brown-gray. Either way, with soft pink mauve hints in the hair, that's usually a sign of summer. Hair is like the curtains along the sides of a window, the window being our face, with the wall color behind them. With a winter skin tone, mauve undertone curtains don't look so good.
No, they really, it just doesn't work. If hair is dark brown, let it be. Michelle Dockery, Sandra Bullock, they could be any winter. I think they might be a bright or a dark. True, maybe Kim Kardashian, Josh Groban. You can't know without testing, and it doesn't matter. Our conversation and advice today, it just doesn't matter so much which winter, the way it can with summer, even autumn and springs.
Yes, their superpower is in dark hair, not highlights, not red hair. We talked about how three things matter when we talk about color: how light or dark it is, how bright or soft it is, and how warm or cool it is. True winter is lighter than dark winter overall. They might have dark hair and eyes like Anne Hathaway, but the skin may be porcelain. Women with medium brown hair often don't look so ivory, but they may wear a lighter foundation than you might expect. Women of darker complexion have dark skin, hair, and eyes most often. That's their harmony. Though we've seen the stunning images of people of dark skin and blue or green eyes. A few true winters look light all around. Blonde hair, blue eyes, ivory skin. They look like a lighter season, but they don't test that way. They're winters who kept their lightness into adulthood. Another variation. Some true winters have red in the hair and amber in the eyes. They look warm, but isn't when tested. None of these types of true winter look better with hair color other than their own.
I must agree. I can't think of any either. 100% agree. True winter is a most deceptive season. The natural diversity is enormous. They all react to color in the same way, though. That's what puts them in their season in the first place. By react to color in the same way, what we mean is too warm, too soft. All those color reactions take place at the same point in the color ranges, which is why they all react much the same way to yellow highlights or any other color, be it hair or be it clothes. As we move into chemical color for true winter, Joren, can you think of a chemical color that's an improvement over their own color? I seem to be coming up with a list of don'ts.
Yes, and I feel like repeating that their superpower is their own hair. They could enrich their natural color. They can use a single color hair color better than other seasons can carry off single color hair. For instance, when covering silver, I'd be less absolute about dark or bright winter, but we'll come back to that later.
Becoming blonder from dark or medium brown hair tends to make skin thick or heavy, rather than fresh and clear. Eyes are indeed the focal point, but winter eye colors are often strong enough that they hold up against any hair color, most any hair color. Women see that intensity of their eyes, and then they try to boost it further by lightening the hair even more, but the delicate balance of natural coloring tips too far. Most often it's true in bright winters who do this. Darks recognize blonde is not an easy look. So the now lighter hair is usually too yellow. Next, what happens? The skin goes beige. Then they choose beige and tan cosmetics. They take what could be a unique appearance, a powerful appearance, and they make it generic.
Honestly, I think there's a subconscious intention behind it, meaning a desire to look like everyone else, but one more bleached blonde isn't nearly as interesting and provocative as if they're what they are like naturally, you know?
I think so too. If hair is bleached very light, that could be effective in terms of contrast, meaning big distance between light and dark that looks great on winters without yellow in the skin. It's an artificial look, but many women are fine with that, and it can be intentional and intriguing. There's no grow-out option except to color the whole head back to the natural. But even there, I've seen natural returns to natural colors that are beautiful, both by women at home and hair colorists. Comes to mind Canadian actor Dale McLeod. and I've linked her site in the show notes. On the front page is red, or was red 2 days ago when I looked. It was kind of good. Under photos, you'll see her with bleached hair, natural hair. They all work in their way, and I pick any of them over blonde. Dale appears in Burden of Truth season 3 on Netflix. It might just be Netflix Canada. And you can see the hair with large bleached areas, almost white, and then large areas of the natural dark. I like it. Actually, I could buy it in a young urban professional. Would be electrifying if she wore her season colors with it, whatever type of winter she may be.
Well, what really helps the bleached look is that a lot of the natural color is visible. Winters are designed on a black and white and red color scheme. Black and white is great in clothes, so why not on the head? True winter color needs commitment in the go big or stay home sense. Bleach too, don't stop at yellow, go to platinum.
Yeah, if you look at this actor, her natural look is really lovely, but in her age group, community, or industry, she may find that white or red give her a bit of an edge. Would I hire her as my doctor or lawyer? Maybe not. My graphic designer, real estate agent, as an actor? Sure. For any blonde winter, anybody who looks far from natural, though, I gotta say, if your industry is authenticity and branding, you gotta think about hair color. Remember, your appearance is telling me what you're selling me.
Yes, walk your talk, ladies.
Yeah. Blonde, I'm always talking about blonde, but it's so common and it so contradicts best appearance, I think. Blonde can yellow the skin more than bleach, white, platinum, or silver. We said that. When hair and skin are similar, the edges of the face are hard to make out. The face looks like it extends out to the edges of the hair. So the face becomes wider, flatter, chubby, without darkness to create edges and a slender facial contour. It would be like an artist sketching your face using only light pencils. And the effect is even worse with wide-angle lenses, Zoom, FaceTime, anything with a webcam. This is an example of maybe looking younger in the wrong way, meaning bland, undefined, juvenile, instead of healthy and strong. Nobody really wants those words associated with their appearance, because too young to hire might cross their mind, and you don't want that either.
No. At some point, the decision is made to return to a more natural color. Winters won't transition well through an ash phase to get their correct color. It appears washed out and gray. Use it as a transition color while you reset to a better color. If you're brave, go back to the color you had at 20 or 25, or whatever is close to natural now at this time. Don't wait for the blonde to grow out. You need a better base color for clothes and makeup and overall appearance to work.
Single hair color, uniform hair color, that looks good on winters. It's just exactly the same as large areas of neutral colors work in appearance. You Google Michelle Dockery in the movie The Gentleman, or I'll put a link in the show notes. Yeah, the hair is a little heavy and intense, as dye can be, but there's a consistency with the appearance that stays with the person, and it doesn't suppress the eyes.
Yes, well, I haven't seen The Gentleman, but how about Sandra Bullock in that movie, The Blind Side, which I saw a long time ago? I didn't care for the look. Her as a blonde, it just is like nails on blackboard to me. But I researched the real story behind the movie, and the mom is a blonde, bleached blonde, not natural blonde, but probably that was an attempt at making the actor look more like the real life person. Doesn't excuse the failed blonde, just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Canadian and an Atlantic Canadian at that. The blonde probably wouldn't stand a chance out here. But I've known women from other places who feel successful in that hair color and that they look old and uninteresting in their dark brown. I think it's cultural. We do what our friends are doing or what they approve of. often to reassure themselves of a choice they're also making. Two wrongs don't make a right. But in some locations, that hair would certainly be seen as right for that woman.
Right. So let's move on, Christine, to what to avoid for true winter.
Yeah, I think we've said it. What looks great is usually close to natural, or it's an extreme. Anna Lazarska, as an example, is a blonde true winter, one of our two analysts in Poland, whom you can meet on Chrysalis Color under the Color Analysts tab. Anna's hair color doesn't have the weight and thickness of dye. You'll see her picture on her analyst page. You can make out the facial edges. The eyes are clear in their icy, steely way. Earlier, we talked about a greenish tinge in true winter hair. So if you were asked whether you're making out green or pinkish mauve, I'd pick a yellow-green tinge in Anna's hair, and her brown brow powder also leans to a very cool green-tinged yellow. It's an uncommon and beautiful presentation. In summer colors, which is what the natural appearance you would guess, not good to a surprising degree.
With coolness and saturation or pigment concentration at the high end, there's just less room for error. Softer colors have thousands of steps in between, and it doesn't matter so much to be a little above or below. With winter, it's hard to make small steps. Not to say it can't be done, but you want to be very close to home to raise the odds of it working well. Moving right along to bright winter. What can we say about bright winter natural color, Christine?
Natural colors, usually dark brown, versions of black exist for sure. But if those colors are 8 in 10 for true winter, in bright winter, let's say there are 5 or 6 in 10. Dark brown is often interesting for being darker than you think it is, and it can have a purple cast, which you pick up when they stand next to someone else. Or other bright winters can be medium brown, blonde, red. What they have in common is that the color is very pure, which gives it a glassy quality. And it's intense. Like, it's so red or so yellow, you think it's dyed, but it's not. Big difference is dye can be intense, but it's opaque at the same time. This natural hair is intense without the weight. It's like colored cellophane, like Earl Grey tea with lemon, as I once said.
Yes, you did. And I love that analogy. A bright winter doesn't walk into the room and people think your hair is made of glass. It's not like that. But it's much easier to see if they stand next to other people, and you won't see it in all brights. That glassiness is clarity, pure pigment, the defining feature of the bright seasons. And that hair effect is often blunted in photographs too. Pure pigment isn't neon or synthetic. It refers to more color and less gray in the paint.
Right. The hair color, it just doesn't look dusty in the least. Same as their clothes, same as the eyes. For the whole picture to work together, the hair does what everything else does. Now, some bright winters, naturally, have medium dark hair as it grows out, and then it naturally becomes blonder after about an inch of growth. Looks like highlights, but it's not. Rather than glassy color, this is very intensely colored to the point that you hardly can believe it's natural. Because it's intense and often yellow, so they have these natural highlights, and often the warm colors in the eyes as well, we may think we see warmth, the mustard of autumn. But that is not the case. They do not test that way. They are far more bright in coloring than they are warm. So does the combination of glassy and intense yellow exist in human coloring? Yeah, it does. The person tests near bright spring, which is the warmer neighbor in the season cycle map.
Some bright winters recognize the glamour and individuality of their coloring and want every bit of it. Others pull back, they're reluctant, and they question the season or how in the world they will wear it. And still, bright winters look perfectly normal in their colors and drained in softened colors. soft seasons look normal in soft colors and drained in bright colors. It's amazing and true. So, what about chemical color for bright winter hair?
Yes, one of the two seasons where I would suggest careful planning. In fact, I'd suggest leave it alone in terms of coloring hair. The other one being true summer. Brights, it's an interesting coloring. They know they need brightness. They know they can take a lot of energy in appearance. But they often confuse it with lightness. And they're partly correct. This is the lightest winter of them all, of the three. But they still range from black to white. And the overall composition is just lighter than true winter. Usually, if she chooses to color or highlight her hair, she'll go for blonde. Even when the starting point is medium or dark brown, she loves the lift. She doesn't mind the roots or the dark brows. And she likes the effect with black clothing and mascara. Because there's a little yellow in this season, this winter season combined with a bit of spring, yellow can work. But the degree of warmth is most important. This is a winter. She is not a spring.
This is a story we know. She may have tried pastel colors and found they're not enough. Generally, has a sense that earth tones don't work. To add lift and balance, she tried blonde, and it may not be enough, and red. Because she's essentially cool in coloring, blonde is often too warm. Everything they try works in some ways and doesn't in others. Eventually, there's a fatigue that sits in and they figure this is the best they can do. Once colors are adjusted and the woman understands what bright actually means and how to use it, the woman believes in her own beauty again.
Yep, that is exactly what happens. So they've dyed their hair. She's dyed her hair. It's gone too yellow. In a way, the intensity works. The dyed look is kind of oddly good. It's a California or a Florida effect. But then there's a problem because adding color elsewhere is too much. So now she can't get her clothes to work. Or her makeup and her hair together is too much color. So she has a color analysis, recognizes what clothing and makeup colors can do for appearance. And this woman, she sees the blonde is too yellow and too colorful. They're winters, after all. Too much color is too much pretty quickly, meaning the total number of colors. Cooler blonde is an improvement. They feel less overdone with color, more relaxed, more accepting of color in clothing, where before they keep to black or denim or autumn neutrals. Not a good choice to control the overall color effect. So winter, she will pull back from too much color almost instinctively, but there's a better solution than autumn colors or black, and it's better hair color.
Well, everybody, in the middle of our podcast recording, the power went off. So we had to stop and resume. And in this recording, I've moved to a different location, which is outside, so the sound may be a little different, and I just wanted to explain to you why. And we are back with talking about hair coloring for winters, in the bright winters. So I wanted to say, Christine, that being a personal color analyst in Norway, I've seen much more of the medium contrast, sandy brown haired bright winters than those black and white, snow white bright winters, actually. That's the population of Norway, I guess. And I see so many of them trying blonde. And what's most important is to get the warm, cool level right. And you can often find it among the yellows in the eyes and possibly how close to true winter or bright spring you draped, which your color analyst can discuss with you.
Yeah, exactly. Those are two really good places to pick up clues as to the color of yellow that will make sense or look good framing your face. At times, a bright winter will bleach the point of platinum, not like Gwen Stefani, let's say, just like we discussed above in True Winter. She doesn't mind the dark roots and the brows. They're quite okay with the upkeep. If you do color bleach blonde red, do wear your season color clothing. We've said that many times, but also give some thought to Zoom backgrounds with, let's say, a brick wall backdrop or something very autumny or a very watery summer background. The impression can be, well, a little more candy or cheerleader than competent professional adult.
There's nothing wrong with being more dressed up or made up than everyone else. You're being an ambassador for yourself, and it's a very normal look for many winters, almost less groomed when they don't do it. But combined with bleached hair, fuchsia or lacquer shiny lips, and black liquid liner plus lashes, it can be a party look, not necessarily a work look. They can wear visual effects, so easily that they don't always sense where to draw the line, and if anyone will succeed at this, it'll be a bright winter. Everything is relative. A black or dark blue night sky curtain, a few tiny lights tastefully arranged. This is a whole different impression than a brick wall. And now we're going to go into what to avoid.
Right, what to avoid for a bright winter? I think dye, if I were to sum it up in one word. If your natural color is of the glassy type, might be light or dark, your natural color might be yellow, orange, brown, but it always has this transparency that is consistent with what looks good on spring-influenced coloring. And the coloring is so fine-tuned that dye, light or dark, once it becomes opaque, it also starts to look heavy. So like true winter can definitely be done. In the Pinterest Bright Winter Board, I've posted a couple of colors of a coppery rose gold that I think looks terrific. And I don't see it as autumn's rust or squash colors. I have also seen medium ash brown used to cover yellow when the natural medium brown color grows out. It was an improvement. Was it perfect? No. But it was a step in the right direction for calming down the yellow and bringing the attention back to the face, especially when the hair's long or it's worn near the face. Otherwise, ash will read gray next to the brightness of the natural coloring.
Right. Well, I think that kind of wraps it up for bright winter, and let's move on to dark winter, starting with the natural color of dark winter. For 8 or 9 out of 10 dark winters, the natural hair color is medium dark to dark neutral brown.
Yeah, that pretty well sums up dark winter. I'm trying to think of variations. Some are a little lighter, some are a little softer, some a little more intense in the color. May have warmer glints, usually is some variation of the little bit of autumn coming out, a bit of red-orange. You don't necessarily see brown eyes. Examples of that might be me, maybe the actor Tom Cruise. I don't know if he's a dark winter or not, but he's conceivable as a dark winter, and his eyes are not brown. In the introduction, we talked about eyes as the focal point of the face. That really, really matters. Other colors, including hair, should not be more colorful than eyes. So hair, as we said, lipstick, clothing, the eyes should be very strongly colored in the face.
True that. And as we said, winter eyes are naturally strongly colored. No hair color particularly grays the eyes. They could certainly clash, like a steely blue-eyed person dyeing the hair orange, or a dark-haired dark winter deciding to try light brown and appearing to have aged herself overnight. But the eyes are harder to suppress, which creates a problem in itself as it leads them all over the place, not only with hair color, but difficulty deciding if the change was good or not. Well, so chemical color for dark winters. Dark winters are among the most likely to wear single color well, along with dark autumn and true winter. Autumn influence wears opaque hair color far better than spring. We talked about summer's gray softness. And we'll get to spring and autumn hair in another, in other episodes. But for a harmonious look, hair must follow the same principles. If you're covering gray or enriching the color, stay with the natural color, but perhaps lighten it one level enough that what grows out is not visible. The reason for one level lighter is threefold. One, chemical color is intense. Two, when humans see darkness, they tend to feel intensity. Three, dark winter is the most muted of the winters, meaning intensity or brightness has a limit after which the color takes over.
That's right. Chemical color, even if it's the right color, and we've seen this on so many actors as they, women, as they become older. As soon as it gets dark and it gets intense, it steps in front of a dark winter, though the color itself might be okay. I think the same can happen in lipstick. You've maybe seen that too, Yoren, where the color itself looks good, but something about the cosmetic pigment intensity steps ahead of human pigment intensity. So lightening up, I think, is a way of just settling that back a little bit. Women ask about fantasy colors a lot in every season. Do you have that in Norway? Do women do that? Do they dye their hair pink and red and blue? It's not a Norwegian thing.
The young people do. The young girls. Yes. I see it in the high school youngsters.
Right.
Very seldom in grown-up women in Norway.
Interesting. It's variable here.
And if they do, they're actors or artists in some,
right, you know, performers in some sort of way. I get asked often enough, and you know, to be clear, I had an interesting question last week too from a 20-year-old who asked me, well, isn't color analysis just for people on the stage and, you know, in fashion? And I said, as if it was, I wouldn't do it. It's for everyday regular people, but everyday regular people do like fun hair effects. I think of fantasy colors a bit as cartoon colors, and not in a bad way. We've said in other shows, you're basically wearing your lipstick colors or some other palette color in your hair. And it can be successful if it works in the community you live in. I'm thinking of a receptionist I know. First face that folks see when they walk into this cosmetics business. I'm sure she's a dark winter, naturally dark hair and eyes, Mediterranean complexion. She's more olive than ivory. Eyeglass frames, black, red, excellent, strong, smoky red for dark winter. And the hair over her forehead, the bangs, are colored the same red. You know what? It worked fine. I suspect that she wanted to say, I'm hip, I'm modern, I'm off the beaten path, I'm not afraid to step away from safe. I think she looked good. Most important, though, her eyes had the strength to shine out beyond the hair and through the glasses. The red made sense in the picture, worked with her clothes, makeup, and glasses. But before choosing glasses, picture them with your hair, because they're right there between you and other people. We always see glasses together with hair.
Yes, and you don't change your glasses very often, but at least most people don't. Mm-hmm. So the hair and the glasses are kind of constant, and you really need to take that into account. So what to avoid for dark winter? I think that the biggest error for dark winters would be trying to be blonde. What do you think?
I agree. I think blonde is the one to think twice. I cannot think of a time when I have ever seen blonde be an improvement, even if it's being used to cover silver. The silver is better.
Mm. Well, dark winter is dark, hence the word. Darkness, it is the dominant quality for darks. And so the shift to light as the individual grays might feel and look like a revolutionary change. Since the skin tone calls for darkness, the face is most alive when darkness is present. Darks may be inclined to color their hair for longer, particularly if their hair was very dark before they started to turn gray. But the problem with do-it-yourself dark hair colors is that block of one color effect that often results. And so alternating colors, and probably in a shade a little bit lighter than the hair was at its darkest, works well. Highlighted strands will also help the hair color appear most lively and natural. And this is even though we said that dark winters carry the solid block of hair color well, to a certain extent. Courtney told us about a dark winter that she knows that has gone gray. The hair color has a steely, multi-dimensional quality that is beautifully highlighted. However, this woman tends to use black in clothing excessively, resulting in too much overall coolness for the skin tone. Wearing the darker swatches of the palette that aren't black near the face can set up the contrast that the season needs. These can be used instead of warmer and darker highlights for the hair, which has become the contrasting light in the presentation. So, before moving on to silver and closing today, let's take a few minutes to talk about women of darker skin tones. Many Asian and Mediterranean women are winters, probably more than in the Caucasian population. So, what adaptations might be made in those three winter seasons for that group? Christine, what do you think?
I think that everything stays about the same. I like what you pointed out in what you just said, or Courtney's thoughts, that, to emphasize that every color in a dark winter color palette isn't dark. They just tend to be darker than the other winters overall. And having an element in the composition that's dark does, exactly like you say, look good. But if it flips so the hair becomes light and the clothing becomes dark, vice versa, balances out. And the same when skin color is dark. They do need contrast. So all black outfits on women of darker skin tone, I don't think that's very successful. I think they look sharper and better if they insert a light color. Could be white, could be something else from their palette. If anything, my suggestion to wear your own hair color is even stronger. And is that because the higher melanin in the skin gives an even stronger negative reaction with dye? I'm actually not sure, but I find that these women invariably look better with their own hair color and are better off spending money on what looks fantastic in terms of fabric, texture, and jewelry to celebrate their culture in ways that actually might look like costumes on Caucasian women. So what about silver? Let's move on to silver here. General comments, and I don't know that we have many because we covered a lot of this in our beautiful silver episode. But again, to reiterate, wearing the right clothing colors, especially once the hair is white.
Well, I have an example. As I was walking the dog the other day, when I was in Norway, I'm in France at the moment, I happened upon a client of mine who was out and about in her garden. I noticed her from a distance, and of course, what I did notice first was her hair color, because I'm always looking at hair color these days. Yes. She's a true winter, and for about a year now, she's been growing out her natural hair. She's a typical Nordic style woman, very casual and sporty, and she has the most perfect pixie cut. And now that her hair is her natural color, she's silver around the ears and in the front a little bit, and the rest is her natural level of dark. And you know, from a distance, her hair seemed almost blue. It was this mesmerizing blue, black, silver topping off her casual outfit of shorts and a bright red t-shirt. And as I came closer, I stopped for a conversation, as one does in a small town, and I just had to ask her if she does something to her hair. I was thinking that she might be using some kind of blue shampoo or something, but no, she uses no color enhancing product. It was just the way her hair is. Do you find that this kind of natural blueness is a true winter thing, Christine?
Yeah, very much so. You can see remarkable reflections in true winter hair that I don't see actually in dark winter or bright winter. Women's hair and also men's beards. And it does not look odd. It doesn't look like, you know, the person has
a blue hair that, let's say, doesn't match with the rest of them. And it's not obviously blue. This is all very subliminal, as Joran says. You don't notice it in an unbelonging or clashing way. It just seems to belong very easily with the person. Not everyone, not every winter, not every true winter would do this, but it's not rare either. The color I see most often actually is teal, meaning dark blue-green, and usually when they wear colors in the blue or green family, or purple when they wear that. I'd like to close our show today by asking one more provocative question. Well, tell the truth, my usual disruptive self, which is whether colorists ask themselves what the woman will gain for this hair color choice or investment. Will she pay a social or professional price? Because the world that should be is not the world that is, and people make decisions about us from hair color. Now, going back a level, is it the colorist's job or is it the woman's to have this knowledge about herself? Well, you know, the colorist can't be a mind reader and a life coach, but someone should be asking what the woman's next 6 months are going to be with this hair. What opportunities might come her way, what ones she might miss that she would never know were because someone looked at her hair and made a decision. And hairs, you can't just take it off and return it. Hair has its own implications that clothes and makeup don't have. Joran, do you have any thoughts?
Yes, lots of them. I'm so glad you bring this up. I'm thinking that this is exactly the empowering effect that a color analysis provides. You are the one who will go to the hairdresser and present her with a color range you'll be happy with. The woman, any woman, has to advocate for herself because only she knows her full color picture, hair, cosmetics, clothing. At least she will know it if she's had a color analysis. And people worry about having a color palette is rule-driven, but the alternative would be to be at the tender mercies of a hair colorist, and I don't think that's a better choice.
I agree. They don't know because they can't know. They don't have the testing system that we have. And by testing, it always sounds so medical, you know, but all we're doing is comparing you to very carefully selected color and looking for specific reactions that color analysts are trained to know. But the beauty of it is you just stop getting talked into stuff. You never again get talked into anything. And get home and think, if I could turn back time. So an appearance partner who knows the whole picture or follows an integrated interlocking system like season. The hair colorist can't be expected to keep track of wardrobe and makeup for all her clients, but the color palette does. Like back to Joran's orange sofa analogy, one color can dictate way too much about other choices. Winters especially, you got to have some caution around hair color because the overall look can become too colorful quickly. And many winters, one or two colors are plenty beyond the neutrals. And if one is the hair, well, it just doesn't leave too much room for clothes and makeup to be those amazingly gorgeous winter colors. And this is also, I think, how many winters end up avoiding clothes or wearing black and gray clothing all the time.
It's a winter thing, I think. If the natural design is colorful in hair and eyes, just go with it and add your winter colors. It's going to work. Nature makes no coloring mistakes.
Thank you, Joran. I enjoyed our conversation today. And thank you to all our listeners for being here.
Yes, and tune in next time when we'll be covering hair colors for the spring seasons. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. See you next time.